Here's why you need to attend the Recruitment Coach Live Summit in London this September. Reason number one is networking. The opportunity to connect in person with like-minded recruitment business owners and share strategies and best practices. Of course, you can do that via Zoom or Teams, but the connection is deeper when you do it in real life. Wouldn't you agree? One of our previous attendees, Darcy, said that she loved the speakers and the content, but the best part for her was in between the sessions, the informal conversations with other successful business owners that sparked incredible insights and those aha moments. The quality of people in the room will be incredible, including many of the people you've heard me interview on this podcast. There's going to be big billing recruiters as well as business owners with multi-million pound businesses. What they all have in common is that they prioritize their own development. And no matter how successful they already are, they want to keep learning and growing. What's even more special and remarkable about this group is that they're all willing to share their knowledge and they're so generous at helping each other improve. Early bird pricing is still available. Register now by visiting recruitmentcoach.com/summit. Welcome to the Resilient Recruiter Podcast. This is your host, Mark Whitby, and my co-host today is Leanne Sarah Jones-Hunt. Welcome, Leanne. How are you today?
Hi. Yes, I'm great. Thank you. Still on a high from our live summit that we did in New York a couple of weeks ago. So what a great time we had. And it was just so great meeting our members and after 2 years on Zoom to actually meet people face to face finally.
Absolutely. It was amazing and quite surreal, actually, to people who we know already. We had about 20 of our clients from the States who got together in person in New York City 2 weeks ago, and people who we know really well but have never actually met in person. And to see them in three dimensions, be able to shake their hand and give them a hug was amazing. And also just how much more you can go in depth with topics when you've got two full days instead of, you know, just a weekly coaching call. So that was such a, you know, amazing experience.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. So listen, topic for today, do you want to announce it?
Yes. So mistake number five is recruiters doing everything manually instead of leveraging automation. So we're going to go quite deep on this. There's probably five or six different buckets that people fall into. It's probably a case maybe you've tried it, it hasn't worked for you, or you don't know where to start with it, or perhaps you are using automation but are wanting to level up. So there's probably different angles and opinions when it comes to automation.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. So we definitely today want to outline kind of the benefits of leveraging automation, but also maybe highlight some of the pitfalls and like the do's and don'ts, because it's kind of a double-edged sword, automation, right? If used well, it's such a fantastic way to save time and be able to reach more people. But if you do it wrong, then it kind of backfires. And I actually think that's the fear of that happening is one of the things that stops people from even attempting it, which is a shame because it has, you know, it is so powerful. So let's maybe first talk about the benefits, like why, well, no, first let's talk about some of the ways that our clients are leveraging automation to make more placements and increase their billings.
So I think the benefits of automation are the fact that you can really save time on your processes. I personally implemented automation in my recruitment business and saved 25 hours per week. And that didn't happen overnight. That was a compound effect. It grew organically. It was quite reactive at times when I was implementing automation to parts of my process, such as the candidate sourcing and outreach side of things, which then resulted in the next phase of automation, which was dealing with the response rate. So in terms of the benefits, for me, I sort of wave the flag for any automation, be it a calendar tool, email automation, things that will just help you claw back time.
It's absolutely amazing that now to be clear, that 25 hours a week you save, that was a combination of automation and delegation to a virtual team, right? But it wasn't that, you know, 1-2 punch. And 25 hours a week. So how many hours were you working prior to that? And what did you get it down to?
Roughly around 55 to 60. So yeah, yeah, I mean, it was just a game changer for my business. And, you know, I was the same in terms of what people perhaps are feeling now, is, you know, maybe a bit wary of automation and wondering whether, you know, you have to be a tech whiz to make it work. And, you know, these tools and platforms now have such support that they give, that, and you know, tutorials and YouTube videos as well, but essentially they are appealing to people who are wanting to take that first step. And yeah, I do think, as I said, you know, I'm a huge advocate for automation when used correctly.
100%. So it's interesting. You say, like, when you're working 55, 60 hours a week, that's probably what many recruiters are working, especially business owners. And they might be even working longer than that. So, you know, this is such, like, we can't emphasize enough the power of automation for saving of time. So if you're trying to do everything manually, like you're reaching out one at a time to candidates to tell them about a job, or one at a time to potential clients to try and spark a conversation, you know, this is definitely a game changer.
Yeah, I do think another benefit is that it does create a smoother experience for a candidate and client. If they're going through a process and actually you're able to follow up with them with the use of automation, it just means getting to that appointment and actually that sort of personalized touch and human touch being on the phone is a much quicker process. And, you know, if you're not perhaps utilizing automation, you may be see that people are falling through the net and actually you're not getting to them in time. So essentially you're doing a disservice perhaps to your market if you're not utilizing automation, because you as one person or perhaps a small team only has so much bandwidth.
Absolutely. Great point, Leanne. The third benefit, I think, is that it helps you to get off that feast and famine roller coaster, because and I had this conversation with a potential client 2 days ago, and they said that it was like, get a job, fill a job, get a job, fill a job. And, you know, when you're focused on delivery, then you've kind of got the blinders on and you're just trying to get coverage to that particular opening and serve the client and deliver on your promises there and get across the finish line. And the business development activity falls by the wayside. And then you fill the job, or heaven forbid, you don't fill it, but it gets filled internally or from some other source, or it falls away for whatever reason. That's even worse, because now you have nothing in the pipeline and you have nothing, no fees on the board either. But in any either case, you're now scrambling to rev up the engine and get back to business development. We see this cycle so often for recruiters and recruitment business owners. So what automation enables is that in the background, you have both your candidate sourcing and your business development machines are just running all of the time on autopilot consistently in the background, so that when you're turning your attention to delivering on, you know, high priority searches, the business development doesn't stop. It's continuing. And that's going to really be a game changer in terms of allowing people to level up their billings.
Absolutely. It's a competitive advantage there. And also, I think the thing we haven't honed in on is the fact that automation gives you a platform to really look at your metrics and ratios as well. Something that you can't do if you're doing that manually, well, not easily anyway, but automation, for example, if specifically email automation, can give you the intel and the data to do with whether your emails, the open rate, the reply rate, are they doing what they should do in terms of the response rate from your target audience as well?
Yeah, exactly. Like if you're sending out manual emails one at a time, you're really not able to discern whether those messages are in fact working, whether they're effective, because there's just not enough volume to run a proper test and say, like, this email is getting a good response rate, or,
you know, whereas with automation and the automation platforms that we use with our clients, you get that intelligence and that insight. So you know your open rate, you know your response rate, you know how many appointments you're booking, and you can test and tweak your messaging to optimize everything you're doing. And if you're just guessing and you're sort of putting messages out there and hoping, you know, and sometimes you get a response and you place a candidate and that's awesome, but you could have gotten an even stronger response if you were more scientific about, you know, the message, the subject line, the call to action, and so on. Leanne, something I wanted to highlight regarding automation in terms of a benefit as well is we're not saying in any way that this replaces the using the telephone or more personal approaches. Like, we're huge advocates of sending personalized videos, for example, via LinkedIn messaging or via email or even via text message, or picking up the phone and making that follow-up call. So it doesn't replace the personal touch, but what it does is it allows you to actually be more personal because you can invest your time in the right areas within your business and, you know, be more effective. So just making pure cold calls into your marketplace, whether they're candidate, you know, recruiting calls or, you know, marketing business development calls, is probably not an effective use of your time because, you know, it's harder to get people on a call these days and you have to make a lot more outbound calls to get that conversation. So if instead you're using automation at the top end of your funnel and then using the telephone to spend time with either candidates and clients who are already expressing an interest and have booked an appointment with you, that's a high value use of your time, right? Because those are the people who've raised their hand and responded to your automation. Or number two, to follow up and further like add that extra touch points to your recruiting process or your sales process, I think it's going to be a much more effective use of people's time.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's to supplement rather than replace. And I did a poll recently on LinkedIn to do with email automation just to see what the market felt and their attitude towards email automation. And actually 59% said that email automation was awesome. But there are still those people who perhaps haven't tried it because they don't know where to start, as I mentioned earlier, or have tried it, perhaps haven't given it enough time. Because I think people may put an email campaign out, maybe have like 3 or 4 sequences and send it out to say 20 people. And then they just roll it out because it didn't bring the results that they wanted. So I do think there's a lot of patience and investment that's needed at the beginning. But once you start seeing the benefits in terms of clawing back that time, but also the actual journey of a prospective candidate or client getting booked into your diary is shortened dramatically. So the speed of that, I think, is an amazing ROI and motivation to keep persevering with email automation specifically.
Yeah, definitely. And in fact, like, look, email or any type of automation is just like any other strategy or system that you want to implement within your business. It absolutely does work if you do it the right way. And we'll share some tips on do's and don'ts in a minute. But we give our clients the complete playbook on how to leverage automation successfully. But don't just, you know, try it, dip your toe in the water and then make a judgment that, oh, this doesn't work. Or, you know, I guess automation isn't going to work in my market or with my, you know, in my industry or whatever. That is just not the case. You need to A, do it properly, give it long enough, and test and tweak your messaging with sufficient volume of you know, of emails going out to find the way to make it work. And we can certainly shortcut that process. One thing which we sort of skipped over is to give specific examples of what to automate. So there's tons of things you could automate in your business, but I guess
word of warning is don't be going down the rabbit hole and just researching various different tools. And, you know, I guess it's kind of shiny object syndrome that all of us would suffer from. So yeah, word of warning.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's so many tools and platforms and things out there that you can get sucked into. But I would say the three top things that our clients automate straight away. Well, like in the first 30 days of working with new clients, we get them to improve their tech stack and get that absolutely sorted. But the three key things are, number one, candidate outreach. So again, not completely automate, not replace the telephone, but allow you to reach more candidates more effectively and faster, filled jobs faster, right? So candidate outreach, and also then client outreach, business development, lead generation. So those would be two examples of ways of leveraging automation. And it could be, well, it definitely will involve email automation. It might involve LinkedIn automation, although there's pros and cons to doing it that way. But it will certainly involve email automation. And so those are both, I would say, lead generation, either client, candidate or client. But then we've also got the lead nurture side of things. So let me ask our audience a question. Do you have a consistent nurture process for all of the clients and candidates in your database? Are you following up with them regularly and just keeping in constant contact with the people who you've already been in touch with in the past? They might be past clients. They might be clients you've worked with, but maybe didn't actually place with. They might be people you've had conversations with, but haven't actually done work for. And same on the candidate side. They may be candidates that you, good people who you've spoken to, but you haven't placed, or maybe even the people you have placed. Are you staying top of mind with your network so that they never ever forget you, and you are the first person they think of either when they are looking to grow their team and they need the support of a good specialist recruiter, or they are looking for their next career move? Are you the first person that they reach out to? Because this, if not, you are like, you're sitting on a gold mine. All of those contacts and the network you've built over the years, like, I don't know how many years you've been in recruitment, whether it's 1 year, 5 years, 20 years, 30 years. We have some clients who've been in the business more than 30 years. Think about all of the people in your network, and are you keeping in regular touch with them?
Yeah, thoughts, it's just keeping top of mind and just being really aware that those touch points are so crucial when somebody perhaps is looking to hire. And even if you've got such a strong client relationship with existing clients as well, or previous clients, like you were saying, they might not pick up the phone and call you directly to tell you about a role that's live now. You need to make sure that you're at the forefront by implementing these nurturing campaigns and these touch points.
Absolutely. Don't assume they're going to remember you from 3 months ago or 3 years ago, right? If you're not in their face to some extent and giving value and insight, as well as promoting your services, then, you know, the job might just go to the next recruiter who happens to contact them on that day. So we've talked about the benefits of automation and some of the ways in which it could be used.
The ultimate thing here is that you don't have to have this all figured out. I think that's sometimes the reason that people are reluctant to take the first step into automation, because they feel like they really need to understand it all. And sometimes, you know, like most things that we teach, it's putting pen to paper and figuring out what your existing recruitment process is and starting from there. So figuring out what are the repetitive processes, what are the manual processes that I'm doing over and over, to then identify, actually, could I leverage automation in that aspect? Is there something out there that could help me utilize and be more efficient and effective with my time?
100%. So number one, that's a great place to start. In fact, that could be an action that you take away from this episode is write down all the steps in your sales business development process. Number two is write down all the steps in your candidate sourcing and recruiting process, and just look at which of those steps could you leverage automation. Number two is we do want you to personalize these messages. And I mean, minimum would be using the candidate's name, of course, but you can take it much further than that. Like, this is not, what I want people to understand is this is not an email broadcast. Okay. This is not like you're sending an email to, you know, 50 or 500 or 1,000 people or 20,000 people at the push of a button. These are smaller, highly targeted campaigns that look and feel to the recipient exactly like a one-to-one message. So they have to be highly personalized. And you could even take that further. And if you want to personalize at scale, you could write a personalized first line to an email campaign. So you set up a multi-step email campaign, but the very first email, and of course they're templated, but they're very targeted and tuned in to the exact terminology and language of your marketplace, showing that you understand their pain points, you understand, you know, their goals, you understand the trends, challenges in their industry that they're facing, and so that they feel it's relevant. You could just write one personal line to show that you have actually looked at their LinkedIn profile or their website, and you've done some research about their business, and just make one sentence referencing that research that you've done, which potentially could elevate the impact of your email and the response. Do you have any more tips for the do's column, Leanne?
Yeah, I do. Just to reiterate the point that this isn't emailing the masses. It's not perhaps the spam mail that you receive. So I think that's where it comes from and stems from, these sort of negative connotations, is you've been on the other side of a mass mail before. So this is what we want to reiterate here, is that personalization. And I guess people might be questioning, well, if I'm personalizing, does that mean that actually it's back to a manual process? And what we're saying is an element of the automation process is still you having some input or your virtual assistant, but actually the overall picture is it will save you time in the long run because of the follow-up emails, that there's just no way that you'd be able to keep on top of that if you were doing that manually.
Absolutely. That's well said. And so let's go to the don'ts column, because you've already alluded to it. I think the thing that puts people off from really even attempting this is they've seen so many examples, or maybe they've received examples of automation done badly. And that's what they associate with email or LinkedIn automation, is where it's just bad, right? Like, either it's obvious that it's automated, or it's not relevant to them. And the person sending it obviously hasn't even looked at their LinkedIn profile prior to sending the message. And that's a dead giveaway, right? That this is automated if the content of your message is in no way relevant to the recipient, and they haven't just taken that time. So I think in terms of the don'ts, don't rely completely on automation and get carried away with it to the point that it loses the effectiveness and the impression of being a personal communication from you to the recipient. So one example, or one important don't, is do not send these messages out without first looking at your list, the recipient's LinkedIn profile, and confirming that this is in fact a relevant target candidate or client. Because, and yes, that takes a little bit of extra time, and you can train a virtual assistant to do a really great job of discerning who are your avatar clients and ideal prospects and who are not. But at least in the beginning, and maybe forever, you might want to just keep this oversight of checking those lists and making sure they're going to the right people. Because the time, yes, that's going to take a little bit of time, But the time you spend making sure that you're targeting the right prospects at the front end is going to massively save you time later on. Maybe having conversations with candidates who you can't help, for example. So, you know, the targeting is so key to the success of this effort.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Maybe just don't worry that you feel that perhaps if we're suggesting like a 3 follow-up sequence to an email is a lot. I wouldn't worry about this. You know yourself when you're looking through emails, you're finding every reason to rule an email out so you can quickly delete it and clear your inbox. So I guess what we need to reiterate here is that, you know, it may be the case that somebody sees your first email, great. And obviously we're wanting to encourage that response from the get-go. But if you perhaps feel that 2, 3, 4 emails as a follow-up is too much, we have seen, you know, we've seen obviously the opposite in terms of the results that we've seen in the group.
Exactly. So I think the mistake there is not following up enough and giving up too soon, like maybe just sending one email because you don't want to bother people or you're worried about being them getting annoyed. The reality is the opposite. Like, you are leaving money on the table if you're not sending at least 3 messages regarding a specific opportunity or to introduce yourself to a client. And we have seen examples of people getting a really positive response from 5, 6 or more follow-up messages. And we have the stats to prove it. Like, on the automation platforms we use, it shows you what is the percentage response to email number 1, email number 2, email number 3, and so on. And you can see that if people had just stopped after 1 or 2 emails, they would have missed half of the responses and failed to connect with that particular client or that particular candidate, which would just be such a shame. The candidate would have missed out on that opportunity, and you would have missed out on the placement potentially just by not being persistent enough. Another mistake, and this has to do with the personalization, is, and a giveaway that this is automated, is you and or your team member, your assistant, have not visually looked at the data points in your data set, like, you know, the fields or the columns in your spreadsheet. So first name, last name, company name, and so on, and made sure that they're natural and there's no anomalies there. So for example, if you've gathered this data from LinkedIn, often people have special characters like emojis in their name or their job title, for example, or they might have, instead of a job title, they might have a professional headline, like helping recruiters to maximize their billings, right? Could be something I might have. Now, if someone sends me an email and says, "Hi, Mark, looking at your role as, you know, your role as director at helping recruiters to increase their billings," that's obvious that they've just taken the exact wording from my LinkedIn profile and stuck it into a merge field, right? Or if someone had written, "My full company name is Breakthrough Coaching Limited," but you would never write an email to someone and say, you know, "We would love to introduce our services to Breakthrough Coaching Limited." It just doesn't, it's not natural. So you or your VA need to clean up that spreadsheet, and you would just abbreviate it, right, to Breakthrough or Breakthrough Coaching. You wouldn't put the limited in there in a merge field. You want to make sure the job title is correct. You want to make sure that people's, that there's no emojis in, you know, whatever you're sending out to people. So that's just a little thing. This is like a nuance, right? But it's the make or break factor to whether someone responds to your email or whether they, you know, put you in the bucket with all the spammers. Leanne, any other big no-nos that you've seen?
Just what I mentioned before, and to reiterate again, don't go down the rabbit hole. There are so many tools and platforms out there that will sell you the world in terms of what they can do. And, you know, do your homework. Absolutely invest the time in jumping on a call and doing a demo with somebody. And I guess the beauty of being part of our recruitment community is we have a member tool directory. We regularly compare and share ideas about tools. So we're not led down the garden path, and, you know, negotiation on costs is always spoken about, but just make sure you're doing your homework and you're not wasting your time on tools that perhaps aren't going to be effective for your business.
Absolutely. That's a great one. I'll just give people one more tip, and then we've got a couple of announcements for you guys. So first of all, final tip in terms of creating the feel that this is a personal one-to-one message between you and the recipient is write for an audience of one. Do not write your message as if you're speaking to a group. So even if this message is going out to 500 people, the recipient should feel that you're writing only to them. So what I suggest is when you're writing the message, imagine one person, imagine maybe your best client or one specific prospect or one specific candidate that you're writing this message to, and just make sure that your language is appropriate to writing to one person and that you're not addressing a whole group. So listen, Leanne, what are we talking about next episode?
So next week, we're going to be discussing mistake number 6, which is not posting original content on LinkedIn. Now, we are huge advocates for posting original content on LinkedIn. We have now got a bit of an accountability group happening within our membership and our Inner Circle recruitment coaching program. We have implemented this into our high altitude training, which is our onboarding program, on how to produce content, the ideas, and also just a really finesse strategy now that we've rolled out. So we'll be discussing some tips and tricks and hacks next week.
I am really looking forward to that. As you know, this is a topic we're both passionate about. And by the way, be sure to, if you're not already connected to and or following both me and Leanne, then jump on LinkedIn, send us a connection request, or click the follow button, because you'll see examples of our content, but you'll see also the people that we're liking and commenting on who are our members, and you'll see examples of what they're posting. That'll just give you a little flavor of what we're doing within our group. But it's a topic that we are true believers in.
Which has resulted in candidate and client placement. So we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, like there's a measurable ROI of LinkedIn posting, and we'll be able to share examples of that in due course. So we have our final cohort of the year starting our high altitude training and joining our Inner Circle coaching program on November 28th. So if you are at all interested in learning more about what we do in our coaching program, how it works, and whether it might be a fit for you, then book a strategy call with us. It's recruitmentcoach.com/breakthrough. And you will get on a call with either me or Leanne, or the actual person you'll meet on that call. We'll find out more about your business, what your goals are, what your challenges are, and we will help you on that call to outline a roadmap for how you can achieve your goals and remove those roadblocks. And then if you're interested in our coaching and we believe we can help you, then we can spend a bit of time talking about what that would look like. If you're not quite ready to jump on a call with us yet, then the other free resource that we would encourage you to check out is our masterclass called The 6 Pillars of a 7-Figure Recruitment Business. So on that webinar, me and Leanne outline our whole framework and give you some actionable insights that you can implement straight away to increase your billings. And to check out that free masterclass, it's recruitmentcoach.com/webinar. Go and check that out. It's available on demand right now. So you just fill out the opt-in form and you'll be able to watch it right away. You could be watching that today. Leanne, that was fun. Thanks for being here. See you guys next time. Have a great day.